implemented. Well, good morning, everyone. It's just about 8:30, so we'll go ahead and begin. I am not Dr. Scott Burns, as indicated in your program. I'm Judith Gooding, Vice President for Signature Programs at the March of Dimes, and Dr. Burns wasn't able to make it here to Washington, D.C. because of the storms in the Northeast, so I am moderating in his stead this morning. And let's just begin. I want to just give a little bit about what this panel is going to be about, and then I'll introduce each of the panelists one at a time as they prepare to present. Every year in the United States, approximately 1 in 8 babies is born preterm, before 37 weeks completed gestation. And although there's been a slight decline in the preterm birth rate, still over 500,000 babies are born too early. The resulting health issues constitute a public health problem and require a multifaceted public health solution. And this requires an understanding of the social determinants of health, which you'll hear about from our first speaker. 3 panelists will follow and present programs that address preterm birth by working within and building community. And let's begin with Dr. Ashton. Dr. Diane Ashton is the Deputy Medical Director of the March of Dimes, where one of her major responsibilities of the foundation is providing leadership to the March of Dimes prematurity campaign. She received her medical degree from Cornell University Medical College in New York and earned a master's in public health from Columbia University School of Public Health. She's a fellow of the American Congress of Obstetricians and Gynecologists and a member of APHA and the National Medical Association. Dr. Ashton has published papers on topics in obstetrics and gynecology, including the care of the high-risk women in pregnancy. So please join me in welcoming Dr. Ashton as our first presenter this morning.
Thank you, Judy, and good morning to those intrepid few of you who made it here this early. I have no disclosures. And I'm going to be talking to you this morning about social determinants, which is a topic that's intimately related to health disparities, so I'll be covering that also. As Judy already mentioned, the definition of preterm birth is gestations less than 37 completed weeks. And in 2003, the March of Dimes began their prematurity campaign as a response to the steadily increasing rates in preterm birth, which we've seen increase about 30% over the last 2 decades. It's a leading cause of infant mortality and leading cause of long-term morbidity associated with cerebral palsy, blindness, deaf, and retardation. Oops. As you can see, the latest statistics for preterm birth in 2008, we see a rate of 12.3 for the nation, which has peaked in 2006 at 12.8 and is now on its way down. And notably, you can see there's still a significant disparity between the rates for African Americans of 17.5 versus the rates that we see for whites at 11.1. And in this slide, you can see graphically over time how this disparity has continued and is persistent and significant, comparing non-Hispanic blacks again to non-Hispanic whites. And as you can see in this trend, the rates have been decreasing. It's going in the right direction, so we're heartened by that outcome. When we talk about health disparities, we're talking about unequal burdens in disease, morbidity, and mortality rates that are experienced by racial and ethnic groups compared to the dominant population. And we keep going in the wrong direction, sorry. And we know that disparities arise due to differences in cultural, social, political, economic, or environmental exposures that result in differences in underlying health status. And also differences in the quality of health and in access to health also impacts disparities. And in this figure from Healthy People, you can see how interrelated all of the determinants of health are. And this middle panel here pretty much identifies the social determinants of health, the physical environment, individual behaviors, the social environment, which are all impacted in turn by politics, policies and intervention, and health care, quality and access. And we talk about the determinants of preterm birth also, and this schematic was developed part of a white paper that the March of Dimes had produced that shows you many of the pathways, some of the outcomes, and the factors here in this front panel shows you many of the social determinants that impact preterm birth. Social determinants of health. The Institute of Medicine in 2006 published their report on preterm birth and looked at many of the factors that can impact outcomes. And very clearly, tobacco, alcohol, illicit drugs, especially cocaine, we know can increase the risk of preterm birth. Nutrition, we know that women who are poorly, have poor weight gain and poor nutritional status are at risk for preterm birth, and similarly obese women with higher rates of morbidity, hypertension and diabetes, have increased risks associated with their outcomes. Employment as an indicator of socioeconomic status can be a good thing in terms of improving outcomes. On the other hand, if it's associated with long, stressful work hours, it can present as a risk factor. Sexual activity has been shown to be fairly protective. And douching can increase the odds of preterm birth, can almost double the odds of preterm birth. When we look at the social, psychosocial factors such as stress, and I have stress here in red because I'm going to be talking about that a little bit later as an example of how that impacts health outcomes. It tends to be a fairly nebulous entity. You can't really, it's difficult to measure. But we know that chronic interpersonal violence, catastrophic events, such as research that was conducted around 9/11, life events such as divorce, death in the family, significant illness, all of these can have stressful negative impacts on birth outcomes. Emotional responses, anxiety can have a negative impact. Racism has been looked at in quite a bit of detail on how it impacts health outcomes and is thought to be very much involved in the health disparities that we see among populations of color. Social supports, personal resources, some of these areas require a little more in-depth research, but they're all implicated in affecting preterm birth outcomes. And intendedness of pregnancy, we know that that definitely has impact. Unintended pregnancies, these women are about almost twice as likely to deliver their infants preterm. When we look at some of the socio-demographic factors, maternal age less than 16, greater than 35, and we know that the current trends for maternal age, I believe the 2008 data showed the highest percentage of mothers between 40 and 44 years of age. So that is certainly a cohort that's increasing. Marital status and cohabitation. Marital status is felt to be a protective factor when women are married, with higher risks for single women, and cohabitation somewhere between the two in terms of risk for preterm birth. But recently there has been literature looking at the definition of marital status and how that may change over time. As the cultural and society norms around marital status has been evolving. Race and ethnicity, we know that African Americans are at significantly increased risk, but this is also impacted by ethnicity. Puerto Ricans have a higher rate of preterm birth than Mexicans. And it's also impacted by the length of immigrant status in the United States. Mexicans who have been in the United States for greater than 5 years have higher risk for preterm birth than those who have been in the U.S. for less than 5 years. A lot of literature on poverty and socioeconomic conditions and how it adversely impacts preterm birth outcomes. For community factors, social environment, poverty, high crime rate, residential segregation, civic participation, all of these can either be negative, as in the first three, or civic participation. When you have a cohesive community, we find that to be a protective effect. Service environments, access to healthy foods, police, fire protection, health facilities, recreational facilities that impact health, and the physical environment, such as housing quality and pollution, all of these we know have effects on preterm birth outcomes. So independent of the individual level attributes that are risk factors for preterm birth, adverse neighborhood conditions are significant, and this suggests that intervention strategies may need to expand from focusing exclusively on the individual to including the contribution of social structure factors to the risk of preterm birth. When we talk about stress, we're talking about demands that tax or exceed the adaptive capacity of an organism that results in psychological and biological changes. And I just to simplify many of the psychosocial factors, I want to kind of lump them as stress, as having that kind of impact. And we know from some of the research that Dr. Petit Wadhwa has conducted that there is a direct relationship between stress as a social factor and kind of really non-palatable, hard-to-measure entity, and how it affects women physiologically. Stress can cause increases in catecholamine release, in cortisol hormonal levels that can have an adverse impact on uterine placental function. It can decrease the immune function, affect the vascular system, and sometimes even promote adverse behaviors as a coping method for this stress, all adversely impacting uterine placental function, affecting the fetal environment, and impacting outcomes. So when we talk about social determinants and look at the effect of stress or negative factors versus resilience or social supports, you can see, depending on what the overwhelming influence is, that it's going to affect the fetal responses, the maternal responses, and may result when you have resilience and social supports and normal healthy birth outcomes, and when you have negative factors, result in neonatal mortality, morbidity, or long-term adult onset morbidities. Life course perspective. The previous slide really deals with issues around pregnancy, but you can see that pregnancy is a very small part of the entire life course of women when we talk about health in general. So all of the adverse social determinants that can lead to poor birth outcomes, by addressing it during pregnancy, you're really not expecting to see a big difference in the outcome. But when you can address these early on with healthy pregnancies, early intervention, primary care, for women and children, you can change the trajectory and improve outcomes. So we don't want to just focus on pregnancy as a time for intervention. So looking for solutions, we know that we need to develop policies that promote healthier homes and neighborhoods, promote economic development, reduce poverty, and policies that promote education, which can all improve outcomes. addressing these determinants. You need to look at economic and social deprivation conditions that will be most actively addressed by eliminating poverty, toxic substances, and hazardous conditions in the environment, socially inflicted trauma, targeted marketing of legal and illegal psychoactive substances, and inadequate health care. All of these are issues that would need to be addressed, and the WHO Commission on Social Determinants developed these three principles of action, mainly improving the condition of daily life and the circumstances of individuals, tackling inequitable distribution of power, money, and resources, and these are the structural drivers of these conditions that result in health disparities, and being able to measure the problem, evaluate action, and expand the knowledge base to develop a workforce that's trained in the social determinants of health and raise public awareness about the social determinants of health. And some of the recommendations now as far as policies is to be able to think about how environmental and social community actions can impact the health of the community through health impact assessments that are being promoted now. Intervention strategies on a community level involve education, coalition building, community-based participatory activities with multi-level interventions. And some of the strategies that March of Dimes has employed and our fellow speakers will be addressing are supporting the dissemination of centering pregnancy programs through building communities one at a time. Our NICU family support, which offers support to women who have had adverse outcomes and children in the NICU, and their efforts on preventing recurrence and risk reduction, and our signature program, Healthy Babies Are Worth the Wait, addressing issues around social determinants and issues impacting communities through community-based primary prevention. I just want to take 2 seconds for a public service announcement. One of the activities that the March of Dimes is involved in is an Office of the Medical Director in particular, and me specifically, is putting together a database of interventions and programs that impact preterm birth, and we're calling it the Prematurity Prevention Directory. We would like to invite everybody who has been involved in a program, who is knows of a program, who has funded a program, to visit our website at our address below. If you just go to the March of Dimes site and look at prematurity prevention, you'll be able to come up with a form where you can enter some information identifying these programs, and we'd like to collate this, analyze it, and make it publicly available to individuals who may have an interest in knowing what's going on. We're hoping we can identify programs that are effective, efficient, and maybe be able to make recommendations about what needs to be brought up to scale to really make a difference. So I will end my presentation here.